Many years ago, when our kids were little, we were on holiday in South Devon, and we visited an adventure farm. And as well as all the farm animals and the tractor rides, they made a really big deal about having a disused railway tunnel that was a mile long that you could walk through. It was kind of like this big challenge. Can you make it through the spooky tunnel? Will you be afraid? Will you have to turn back? And so on. And if you made it through, you'd get a certificate. So, of course, we had to do it. And everyone was okay at the beginning. We were still in the light from the entrance to the tunnel. But as we got further in, it got darker and darker. And drips from the roof that we couldn't see would suddenly hit us down the back of the neck or on the face. There were puddles that we couldn't see either on the floor that we'd step in, and our trainers got soaked with cold water. Suddenly, no one, particularly our young kids, were enjoying it very much. Wet, scared, fed up, cold. And that was just my wife and I. The kids were far worse. But all the time, we could at least see the light at the end of the tunnel. And although it was just a small dot to begin with, we could still see that it was there. We could still aim for it. And we could always say to the kids, look, look at the light at the end of the tunnel. It's getting brighter. We always had the light to aim for. The light was drawing us on, taking us through the puddles, the drips, and the fears. You know, over the last 4 weeks, we've been looking together in the build-up to Christmas at this great theme of light. We've been reflecting on how we all need light in our lives. We've been saying that light is a powerful thing and that the darker things are, the more impact a single light can have. We've talked about how God invites us to be children of the light and calls each of us to be a light to the world, and how our world needs people to be shining brightly these days. And today we're finishing by asking the question like this: is there light at the end of the tunnel? And that's a powerful question these days, isn't it? A poignant question for this Christmas above all Christmases. You know, at that first Christmas, a bunch of shepherds were minding their own business out in the fields in the depth of night. It would have been completely dark, something we don't experience much these days with all the lights that are all around us. But it would have been totally dark. Maybe with just the lights of the town of Bethlehem, just visible in the distance. Maybe they had the dying embers of the fire they'd cooked on earlier. And it would have been quiet too, maybe just the faint sound of sheep chomping on the grass. And suddenly a messenger from God appears, an angel of the Lord, and the glory of the Lord shone all around. Now, you may have heard this story loads of times. You may have seen countless nativity plays. And I suspect that this scene of the angel appearing may have lodged itself in our imaginations as something like this. First, one angel appears. That's what we're told in the Bible story we heard earlier. One angel appears, shining and glorious. And then later, multiple angels appear, shining and glorious too. And this picture, which is one I think that reflects probably what we think, has the glorious light all around the angel and the shepherd still really in darkness. But look again at what Luke's account of the Christmas story tells us. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. An angel appears, and the glory of the Lord shines around the shepherds. Not around the angel, around them. They, the shepherds, were surrounded by the glory of God, by the presence of God. And it shone. It was like a bright light. God comes, and they experience the glorious light of God. And I think that what was true for the shepherds is true for us. If we step into and open ourselves up to and experience the presence of God, then God's glory shines around us. We get to encounter the glory of God, and it's fantastic. And God's glory brings peace, joy, hope, awe, praise, wonder. And it shone around the shepherds, just like it can shine around us. The glory of the Lord shone all around them. The light got their attention. We're told that they were terrified. This shining light all around them grabbed their attention. But that wasn't all that the glory of God did. The shining glory of God pointed to the good news. It pointed to the good news of great joy for everyone. The glory of the Lord pointed to good news. And then the shining light of God, the shining glory of God, led them in praise and worship. Look what we're told a bit later on in the story. Suddenly a great company of the heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest heaven. The shining glory of God led them in praise and worship. And then finally, the light shining all around them encouraged them to go and find Jesus. When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened. The presence of God, the glory of God around them encourages them to go and find Jesus. Notice this too about this story. The angels didn't command them to go. They decided. You see, God got their attention, but there was still a decision to make. You see, God doesn't force people. He didn't force the shepherds. He points and says, here I am, what will you do? The presence of God brought glorious light to them. The glory of the Lord got their attention. The shining of the glory pointed to the good news for everyone. The shining light of God showed them how to praise and worship the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. The shining light encouraged them to go and find Jesus, the light of the world, but they had to decide. There was a decision to make. And they said, let's go and see. Let's go and find Jesus, the Messiah, the saving one. You know, we did make it to the end of the tunnel all those years ago. But what we hadn't realized when we started was that when we got to the end, there was no way back to the adventure farm except back through the tunnel. It took some persuading to get everyone back, I promise you. But in that tunnel that day, all those years ago, the light at the end of the tunnel was what was drawing us on, keeping us going. When it was a struggle, or when we were getting dripped on, and when some of us were afraid, or when we were cold and wet and miserable, it was the light at the end of the tunnel that drew us on. And the light of God, which we remember at Christmas, and remember we've been saying in this series that one of the titles given to Jesus is the light of the world. The light of God in Jesus, which we remember at Christmas, is like that. Like that light at the end of the tunnel, it offers us hope. It offers us the promise of something better. Ultimately, it offers us an end to our struggles. It offers us courage in the dark. But it gets better than that, because the glorious light of God, the glorious presence of God shining around us, is more than a light at the end of the tunnel. It does that, but it's even more than that. You see, the glorious light of God comes and shines around us if we invite him into our lives. Just like when the presence of God came to the shepherds via that angel, so the presence of God in our lives sets the shining glory of God all around us, lighting up the dark, filling us with joy and hope. You see, it's not just a light at the end of the tunnel. It's a light that can shine all around us, even in the midst of the tunnel. The presence of God can be with us, around us, shining brightly in us, even in the dark, even when things are a struggle and are tough. You know, I believe this so passionately. The glory of the Lord still shines brightly in our world. I mean, isn't it amazing that 2,000 years on from these events, we still remember and celebrate? Many of us look to this baby in the manger for light and salvation. Millions of people all over the planet have based their faith in Jesus and their trust in him as the light of the world. And that same offer that was given to the shepherds is given to us. Light at the end of the tunnel, hope and joy and peace drawing us on, but also a glorious presence in us and around us, leading and guiding. You know, when those shepherds arrived in Bethlehem, they found Mary and Joseph, and they found Jesus lying in a manger in a cattle shed because there was no room for them anywhere else. The shepherds were amazed at what they saw, and they told everyone they met. The glory of the Lord that had shone around them, that had captured their attention, that had led them to the good news, now shone out for them. And now shone out from them. You know, there may not have been any room for Jesus in the inn, but the shepherds had made room for him in their lives in response to the invitation that God gave to them. The shepherds had made room for Jesus in their hearts, and it changed everything. So here's the question: I want to give you as I come in to finish. Will we make room for Jesus this Christmas? Will we make room for Jesus this Christmas? Will we allow the light of the world to shine in our lives? Because if we make room for him, his promise is that his presence will be with us. And I want to give you an opportunity right now in the middle of your Christmas celebrations, however they are today, whatever they look like, whatever you're doing, whether you're on your own or with one or two others or maybe with a slightly larger group, maybe with family, I don't know, whatever it looks like for you, wherever you are, however you're celebrating Christmas, I want to give you the opportunity right now to experience the presence of God with you, to make room in your heart and your life for God's presence to shine, for the glory of the Lord to shine all around you. And the way that we're going to do that is we're going to watch and listen to a song that our worship team did as part of our ABC Christmas nights that we've been running through December. This song is called Make Room. It's not particularly a Christmas song, but it speaks so powerfully into the Christmas story. And one of the lines goes like this: I will make room for you. Do whatever you want to. And if you want to respond to God today, if you want to make space for Jesus to be in your life and in your heart and to be shining all around you this Christmas time, I wonder as you listen to this song whether you'd make this your prayer, whether maybe you'd even open up your hands like this as you listen, or join in as well if you want to, and just say, God, I'm going to make room for you. Do whatever you want to. Make yourself known to me. Shine the light of your glorious presence in my life. So let's watch, listen, join into this together now, and let's offer ourselves and open ourselves up to respond to the invitation that God gives us to experience his presence and his glory this Christmas time.
Yeah. tradition, break down the walls and form my religion, 'cause your way is better. Your way is better. Shake up the ground and form my tradition, break down the walls and form my religion. Your way is better.
Heavenly Father, we open ourselves up to you. We are sorry for the times we have shut the door on Jesus. We haven't made room for him. We've said, go away, there's no room here in my life for you. And instead today, on this Christmas day, we open ourselves up. We invite you in, we make room for you. We say, come and do whatever it is you want to do in our lives and our hearts. Thank you that you're a light at the end of the tunnel offering hope, joy, and peace to us. But thank you too that your glorious presence shines around us even in the darkness. So Lord God, may we experience and encounter your presence today. May we experience the glory of the Lord, Jesus, light of the world, shining around us. Help us to shine brightly for you, we pray. Amen.